Good morning and welcome into Peach Talk. This is our town. I'm Chris Johnson, your host, and my very special guest in the studio with us today is Lucy Edwards. And good morning, Lucy.
Good morning.
Lucy is not too long to have been in our county, but she is a big part of our county. She works with the Cooperative Extension Program from Alabama A&M and Auburn University, and that has a lot to do with a lot of things. The Extension Service has been around a long, long time, and a lot of people may not really remember what it is, and we have some people that probably don't know what it is. And the Extension Service has a lot to offer to the people of Alabama and the people of Chilton County. So I'm going to let you tell us a little bit about the Extension Service. First, I'll let you introduce yourself as to where your hometown is and how you wound up here in Chilton County, and then we'll talk about the Extension Service.
Okay, so I grew up in Decatur, another small town just a little bit further up the road on Interstate 65, and my love for the outdoors, for gardening, that led me to pursuing a degree at Auburn University in agriculture with a focus in horticulture. And y'all know Chilton County has a lot of horticulture crops, specifically our peach tree.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of others.
Yes, several
strawberries,
blackberries, blueberries. Yes, you name it. And so I served as a horticulture extension agent for 9 years. I was a regional agent. And then last June, I became the Chilton County Extension Coordinator. And people ask, well, what does it mean if you're the coordinator? And I'm like, well,
sounds to me like you coordinate.
I do a lot of coordinating. I get to do it all. Instead of just wearing the horticulture hat, I now get to wear several different hats. But Extension is known probably nationwide for its youth programming with 4-H.
A lot of us back in the day were in 4-H and still going strong. 4-H, I guess, is... it's got probably a long, long, long history. You probably know the dates when it started. I don't know.
I wish I could say I knew exactly when 4-H started, but I cannot. I do not know that one off the top of my head.
I can
head.
Tell you for sure it's been around 70 years.
Yes, sir. Because
yeah, probably a lot longer.
I know Alabama Extension has been around for, I believe we celebrated 150 years not too long ago. So we've been, well, pretty much ever since the start of Auburn University, because that's our ag land-grant school. Auburn University was first, and now we're partnered with Alabama A&M because it came along second. And so our extension system is different from other states because we have two schools working together, whereas like if you're in Mississippi, it's just Mississippi State Extension Service. In Georgia, it's University of Georgia has the Extension Service. So Alabama, we're blessed because we have a system. So that means there's more of us covering a more diverse program area. So not only agriculture, I know a lot of people grew up watching Green Acres and they had Mr. Kimmel on there,
who's the
extension agent. He was the ag agent. So agriculture has always been kind of our second thing in addition to 4-H that people know us. They're like, you know, soil test. Yes, we are where you can come get your soil test box. You can test your soil.
And you can do that whether you're going to be a major farmer growing a major crop or if you're just going to put a backyard garden in. You can get your soil test box and get that tested, and they will come back and tell you what kind of acidity and pH level and all those fancy words are. And I guess give you some advice of what you need to put in that soil to make whatever you're going to grow, grow.
Yes. I always say it starts from the ground up. Whenever you're planting, you really want to know what your soil is. So if you're doing a little 10 by 10 garden or raised bed, or if you have hundreds of acres, most of those who have hundreds of acres are doing either row crops or possibly forage. And that's another area within agriculture that we have here locally, Josh Elmore. I'm sure several people have met Josh over the years because he's done forage and animal science here locally out of the experiment station. And then he does beef cattle. So if you have any questions about, you know, you want to have cows or maybe you want to improve your forage, we can help with that, and not just your garden. And then we have our natural resource area. So if you have timber, or if you're, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with your pond, why you might have a weed growing and how to control it, we have expertise in trying to control those pond weeds.
Well, the Extension Service can help a lot of people out in a lot of things that they do. And you mentioned the pond thing. I was noticing on y'all's website, there's some videos that are there. So a good selection of YouTube videos on how to do a lot of things. And I was noticing there was one about how to harvest a shrimp out of a pond. And there were several other cool videos there to watch and various things. So
yes, our video library is growing. It grew really quickly during COVID. You know, during that time, we weren't having in-person meetings, so it allowed us to have more time to actually film and record, because otherwise we fill our schedule up with meetings and we are like, oh, you know what? We should make a video on this. And yeah, it's just finding time. So thankfully, we have a pretty good library going right now.
Well, the 4-H gets the folks in real young and involved in various things, including horticulture and livestock management and trying to remember all the different things that we did in 4-H. You know, a lot of the guys would get a calf and raise it, and there are other things that happened there too. I remember my brother made a lamp in 4-H one time. Way back. I think we still have that lamp somewhere.
Yes. I cannot remember who, but someone recently came by the office and they were talking about when they were in 4-H, they made a lamp and they still have it. It was a lady, and I forget who it was. It may have been one of our volunteers. And that's a note that we couldn't do our 4-H programming without our volunteers, because y'all don't want me teaching sewing. So thankfully we have those ladies who are experts who come.
And we mentioned that. I mentioned 4-H. Of course, I was a boy, and we concentrated on the boy things in 4-H. But 4-H also has a lot of things for young ladies as well.
It does. It does. And now a lot of times we'll, our classes, they used to be, you know, you'd have your boy subjects and your girl subjects, but now we all do them together. And cooking, sewing, Peach Pals, that's our after-school club right now. So every Tuesday in the fall and now in the spring semester, we do Peach Pals. And Peach Pals started out in the fall with sewing. So we did 6 weeks of sewing, and each week they had a different sewing project. And we had 32 youth come, and we had almost 32 sewing machines going at the same time. It was a lively Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, that's cool, because kids need to learn to do those type things, at least be exposed to it. And that's one thing that the 4-H program has, is an opportunity to expose the youth to various things around the home and farm life, and country life, country living, I guess, would be the way to term that. What's going on right now in Chilton County with the Extension Service, besides the 4-H Club and Peach Pals?
Well, we had our peach meeting. Our peach growers meeting is always a big meeting, and so we just had that. That was about 2 weeks ago, and we had a good turnout. We had a visiting professor from Clemson come in and talk about a few things that are kind of on the horizon potentially with pest and disease, so that was beneficial to have him come. We have we're setting up today. We've been up in Jemison getting ready for their fairy tale. So the Master Gardeners and the Extension Office have a little display going on. So that will be...
Where's that display located at?
So that's at the Jemison Municipal Complex back there in their auditorium area. So that will be today, this Friday afternoon, or actually I should say evening at 5 o'clock. Okay. We'll have Peter Rabbit and Mr. McGregor.
Remember them.
Yeah. So
shows my age, I guess.
Well, hey, that's a classic, the tale of Peter Rabbit, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What You want to know something interesting I learned this past year about Peter Rabbit?
Go ahead.
So if you look at the old original Beatrice Potter Peter Rabbit books, he is holding what we all thought was a carrot. But if you look real closely, the leaf on that is actually a radish leaf. And then if you look even more closely, the root portion is more of a red orange. It's not a true orange.
Right.
And so that is actually a long scarlet radish that Peter Rabbit is holding.
Now, that would be a trivia question for somebody there now.
Right. Yes. So I learned that. There's a retired extension agent out of Mississippi, and he has done a lot of research on trying to find that radish and kind of bring it back. And so we will be giving away little packets of long red scarlet or long scarlet radishes to all the kids that come out.
Okay, that's another thing that the Extension Service in Auburn University in the horticulture side of things has to do with. There are a lot of plants and animals that if they're not protected and redone will go away and become almost extinct, I guess. And somebody's got to keep those things kind of alive and going.
We do our best. However, it never fails. We'll have some people come in and they'll ask us about corn varieties. You know, it might be something that so-and-so's great-great-great-grandparent, you know, grew this corn and they passed it down and passed it down and passed it down. And they want to know, you know, what variety would that have been? And now those get me because I'm like, I don't know because they're heirloom varieties and there's so many of them. And if you save your seed from year to year, you know, and it's not something that's commonly sold, we easily lose the names of them. You know, it's.
And that's the other thing that's just amazing to me, is the number of varieties of different things. Like you mentioned corn. How many varieties of corn do you think there are?
Oh, goodness. I would say in the upper hundreds, if not thousands. Because, I mean, I know the tomatoes are in the thousands and watermelons, pumpkin. Oh, look through a seed catalog at all the different pumpkin varieties.
Yeah.
I know David Lawrence. He's our local. He's housed out of the Chilton County Extension Office. David Lawrence does commercial horticulture.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year, he did a pumpkin variety trial at the experiment station. And just seeing, you know, he didn't have very many varieties, but the varieties he picked, they were so different and unique. It's amazing how many there are.
And even in the peach business here in peach country.
Yes.
There's many variety of peaches that our local farmers actually grow, and they probably don't scratch the surface on the varieties of peaches that are out there.
Probably not. I know there's, you know, everyone has their favorite, and some of them have the same one that they like. But in order to extend the season, so you'll have early ripening and, you know, those late season peaches, you know, you'll easily have, you know, five and up varieties. And then that's just peaches. Then you get into nectarines and plums. So you can easily have a lot of different plants out there. And when you drive past them and they're in bloom, you're like, oh, look at all the peaches. But honestly, it could be peaches. It could be nectarines or plums.
Yeah. And that's one thing we're blessed with here in Chilton County is just the beauty in the springtime to be able to see those gorgeous peach blooms on a peach orchard. And of course, there are a lot of other things that are grown here in Chilton County too, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program. And in fact, if I remember correctly, and you probably have all the data on this, so you can chime in, but you know, we did the strawberry festival this last year in Thorsby.
Yes.
We were glad from WKLF to be up there and be a part of that and help promote that. And I understand that Chilton County is probably the largest strawberry producer in the state, or one of the largest?
I don't know per acre base, but I would say it's getting close, because I know we have more and more of our growers looking into growing strawberries on a large scale. So it's a good complementary crop to peaches, because you plant your strawberries in the fall, which by then your peaches have, you know, finished producing, and then they ripen and harvest prior to peaches coming into season.
So a lot of good opportunities for farmers, and I'm sure most of our farmers in the county utilize the Extension Service quite heavily and extensively, because that's what you're there for. But not necessarily, as we said, not necessarily just farmers. Tell me other things that are going on at Extension Service that just the average person might not realize or think about or be able to utilize.
Okay. We have our annual beekeeping symposium. That will be tomorrow, so Saturday the 4th. We have it out at Jeff State every year. And, I mean, you don't have to necessarily have a farm to have bees. You can be inside the city limits. There's not any restrictions on beehives here in Clanton about you having them inside the city limits.
Real popular is beekeeping.
It is. It's a nice hobby. And I do say hobby because unless you're going really, really big, you're not necessarily going to make money, but it's very enjoyable. I know growing up, my mom always had a few hives, and getting out there with the smoker, you know, so she could go and open them up and check on them. I remember one time learning early on in my extension career that when you go to your beehive, if it's aggressive, then that means they're not happy. But that if they're kind of calm, then that means they're, you know, happy bees. And I was like, well, that makes sense. Yeah, that's kind of common sense there.
When they're aggressive, that's the time to let that bee be.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Because I remember my mom always being hurt. She had one hive in particular that was always just, go to open it, to look at it. And a lot of times this would be in the spring, you know, after the cold weather in the winter, kind of a warm day in March or April, we'd go out there and just kind of open the top and look in on them. And I remember this one hive, it was never happy. And once I learned that about the bees, I was like, Mom, you're doing something wrong. And so she started coming to the bee symposium that Extension hosts. So that's been something that I enjoy now even more, because I'm an extension agent who's getting to help teach some of the bee information, and then my mom's coming to the class, you know.
And the bee symposium is this weekend.
Yes.
At Jeff State Community
at
College.
At Jeff State.
And I assume it is open to the public.
It is.
If they want to come and learn about beekeeping.
Yes.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of folks there loving to share their favorite hobby and side hustle of beekeeping and the honey business.
That's right. We'll have several vendors there who, if you do not have a hive but you're thinking about, you know, purchasing one, we do have vendors coming in from kind of across the southeast who sell all the equipment for bees. And then if you know, maybe you don't necessarily, you know, want a big setup, but you just want to start small, they make, you know, smaller colonies that you can kind of start with, kind of get that little toe wet. Bee suits, you know, some people like just the veil that covers your head. Others want the whole entire suit. Let's see, what else do they have? Of course, Petals from the Past will be there. And usually we have a few other nurseries who come from other parts of the state to sell, you know, your pollinator plants. You have to have your plants with pollen to keep your bees happy. And then morning session, afternoon session, we usually go from about 9 until by 4 o'clock everything is over and done with. But we have specifically Beekeeping 101. It goes almost the entire day. It's kind of geared for those who don't keep bees or either are just starting out, and then we have some more advanced classes. So there's, at any given time, there's at least five or six different talks going on. And they're, believe it or not, there are that many things you could talk about with bees.
And bees are extremely important, too. A lot of folks don't, you know, they're aggravating when you, and hurt when you, I know when I was a kid, of course, nobody goes barefoot anymore. When I was a kid, we all went barefooted. And our yard was loaded with clover. And needless to say, it was also loaded with honeybees. And I would step on a bee at least once a week and foot swell up, and I had some allergy to them, so had some problems there. So, you know, they're kind of aggravating, and sometimes they get where they're not supposed to be. We had a colony that got in the back wall here at the radio station.
Yes.
Twice. Not once, but twice. And this last time we had some folks that came out, and they set a hive up out there, and I guess they got some good-looking bees in the hive to track the bees out of the wall. But anyway, they got them out. You know, they came out. So who knows what's embedded in that wall back there. But it's behind the rock wall, so it's hard to see what's there. But they did tear the wood off and take care of what they could take care of. But, bees are important if you want to plant some fence, if you want to plant some fruit trees in your yard. You can't just plant one tree.
That's right.
And you better have some bees in the neighborhood.
It helps. It definitely helps to have bees in the neighborhood. If you don't have them, maybe your neighbor or somebody, you know, will. But you were talking about the clover, you know, grass in your lawn growing up. And that's one thing that is beginning to make a comeback. You know, there for a while, we had the preference of a manicured lawn where, you know, it was perfect, which, you know, it has its place. You know, most people don't want weeds on the golf course, but if you're looking in a subdivision or
weeds are always on the golf course where my ball goes.
They are.
There's pine trees and thorns because it goes way off the fairway.
It misses on the fairway and the green. But
I play golf till I get tired or run out of balls, whichever comes first.
yes, you know, I get tired of chasing them. But the clover, and there's another little small weed that'll pop up in the late winter, early spring called henbit, and it has a little purple flower. People are actually planting those.
My mom's yard used to be full of those, and she would love to look out the window and look at those little purple flowers.
They're very dainty. They're beautiful. But people, you know, there for a while didn't want any weeds in their lawn. Well, that creates what they call a monoculture. So, you know, you basically just have turf. You just have your grass species. And that is not good for our insects. I mean, bees or any other insect, because the more diverse you can have, the better ecosystem, food supply it is for our pollinating insects. Because there's others out there besides bees that pollinate. Moths, butterflies, and then some of our beetles, and just things you wouldn't even think about. Need wasps. There's a specific wasp that will pollinate our figs.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's we get more requests about asking about a bee-friendly lawn, and that's what they're wanting to know. They're wanting to know what weeds, quote-unquote weeds, they can plant.
Well, clover's always fun because you can get down on your hands and knees and look for that four-leaf clover.
Oh, yes. You know, I have a brother that was born on St. Patrick's Day, and he has red hair. And every time he goes and looks in clover, he can always find a four-leaf clover. He used to make me so mad.
I never can.
I can't either.
I never can find a four-leaf clover. Of course, that's the story of my luck, I
guess. Mine as well.
Well, other things that we haven't talked about with the Extension Service, services that the Extension Service offers, we've mentioned the fact you've got the Bee Symposium coming up this Saturday at Jeff State, and then we've talked about the soil testing, and I assume if somebody wants soil tested, they just come to the Extension office at the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've moved. We're not in courthouse anymore.
Let's go location. My old age is kicking in there. Y'all are now located.
So we are now located in what a lot of people refer to as the old health department. Okay. So we are there kind of in the, if you are in the City Hall parking lot, yeah, back parking lot. We're right there beside it.
Beside the back parking lot of City Hall, between, yes, that and First Bank of Alabama.
Yes, and the cleaners.
Cleaners that's been there since 1920-something. So that's a good landmark to go by, is Clanton Cleaners.
Almost everyone who calls, we are trying to tell them where we are, and then we're like, well, do you know where Clanton Cleaners is?
If they remember Clanton Cleaners, either the location they're in now or the location they were in back in the early 20s, it's still across from them, because in the early 20s, they were on the other side of that city's parking lot.
Oh!
Where the little courtyard's at now. That was the original Clanton Cleaners. And I only know that because my granddad came here about the same time that was started, and he had a knee-high bottling company next door where the furniture cut store is now.
Okay, so right there on that same little block. That
same little strip, yes, across from there. But anyway, so y'all are located in the old health department,
yes,
building,
sir,
which is part of the county's stuff. And there's several, I think Red Cross is in there with y'all. And,
yes,
and some,
yes,
some other services. Mm-hmm. But so they can come pick up a soil test kit, take it, get a sample of soil, with then following the instructions and bring it back, and y'all will contact them back and let them know things that they need to do for their garden or whatever. If you're going to plant a garden this year, I guess
now would be the time
to get your soil sample, because you, yes, may need to add some nitrogen or some phosphate or whatever.
Whatever, especially, you know, the price of chemicals for, like, fertilizer is gone up, you know, from, yeah, last spring. It has increased. And so hopefully if you go ahead and get your soil sample in and back, you can beat the rush before it increases anymore.
And I know another thing that has become real popular that I'm sure y'all assist with a lot. In fact, I think I saw something on the webpage about a lot of people are putting chicken houses in and raising their own eggs now.
Yes.
Because especially with the price of eggs this day and time. So I made a joke on my radio show the other day that the redneck lottery was up to 3 dozen eggs.
And, yes.
But I did see that it was, there was some information there, and y'all do, mm-hmm, have some information about how to do those type of things.
We sure do. We actually have our Coop-tastic workshop on March 4th at the 4-H Center there in Columbiana. So we have a whole day. I believe it's a Saturday. Actually, I know it is March 4th at Columbiana, the 4-H Center. We're going to have a full day. If you're looking into doing a backyard flock, or maybe you have a backyard flock and you're not getting the results that you want, or you're trying to figure out, you know, how to maximize your egg production, definitely check that out. We have a Facebook page. It's Chilton County, Alabama Extension Office Facebook page, and we post everything that we're doing, everything that the experiment station is doing, and then everything that, like, our surrounding counties are doing. So, for example, we partner with Autauga County to host a fruit pruning workshop. So, kind of going back a little bit on talking about fruit, but pruning workshops are real big, especially for the backyard orchard. You know, you may not be sure how to prune your fruit trees. So we're doing a workshop on the 24th of February. So that's a Friday. Friday the 24th, we'll be doing a workshop in Billingsley it's a pretty big backyard orchard. It was Gaines Smith, Dr. Gaines Smith. He used to be the director of Extension, and his orchard is there in Billingsley. And so his family graciously still lets us go and teach people how to prune properly there. That's actually where I learned how. I learned how to prune there almost 10 years ago. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, we are so glad that you came to spend some time with us today on Peach Talk. This is our town, and our town has a lot to do with things that the Extension Service has a lot to do, because a lot of folks have a backyard garden, or they have a farm, or they want to have some chicken coop, or they want to have a rabbit pen, or,
yes, or, and we have plans, and we can tell you how to take care of your rabbits. And
so if you've got anything going on that is ag-related, livestock, horticulture-wise, or whatever, the Extension Service has something that can help you out. And you can go to their webpage, and once again, the Facebook page is there. You can keep up what's going on. You can send a message. They're always willing to answer your questions if you stop by the office. They'll be glad to have somebody come out if you have a specific task somewhere that you need somebody to come look at something and give you advice. So all you've got to do is pick up the phone and call the Extension office, and that office number is 205-280-6268. And Miss Lucy or any of the fine folks there will be glad to take your information and help you with whatever you need agriculture-related from the Extension Service, the Cooperative Extension Service, part of Alabama A&M and Auburn University. Well, thank you again so much for being with us this morning on Peach Talk. This is our town, and we have just run exactly right amount of time. And so I'll thank you, and I'll thank our listeners for joining us. We're here every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and our program reruns on Sunday afternoons at 5. And a new announcement we will have, and it's almost ready to be up, a web page up called peachtalk.live. And all of our This Is Our Town will be archived up there, so you can go re-listen to this program anytime you want to, or any of the other Peach Talk Our Town episodes, as well as we'll have some other things eventually up there, like if you want to go back and check the obituaries or the local news or local ball games and other events going on. We're going to have those on there also. PeachTalk.live will be our archive webpage for all the talk portions and programs of WKLF. So thanks again for tuning in. Thanks again, Miss Lucy, for being with us this morning. And we thank you for your time. I'm Chris Johnson, and this is Peach Talk. This is our town.